Thank you, Alex, very much. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you today. We're going to look at this passage in a minute, but I just want to tell you a story first, and we're going to pray. When Jane and I first got married, we took what we thought was a decent amount of monthly money to rent a flat in Twickenham, where we lived. And we had five, I think we had five houses lined up for our visit. And about three in, we realized what we thought we could get with our money wasn't really the level of what we could get. And then we hit a low. So we went to house number four. It was a basement. I felt embarrassed for the landlord when we walked in there, because I thought, how could you expect people to live in this? There's been some of that on the news this week, hasn't there? Property accommodation. It was awful. It was damp. It was dark. There was one slit about 8 feet up on this wall where light came in. It was horrible. And we left and we just said, what are we doing? And the next house, our last one, was this modern build and had a floor to ceiling glass, and the light just shone in. If you are, and this is the theme, if you remember anything from today, if you are in Jesus, if you follow Jesus, you have a room in a penthouse suite with views over eternity. But be careful that you don't choose to settle to live in a basement instead. That's the theme. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is so rich. And God, we really, really ask that you would speak fresh into our lives today through this passage in Genesis. In Jesus' name, amen. So, quick recap. The people have moved eastward, and now they find this place, the Plain of Shinar. And I think we've got a picture, Milo, if you could pop it up. The Plain of Shinar, there it is. It's about 100 miles south. Well, I think it's about 100 miles south of modern-day Baghdad. That's where it is. And that's where they decided to stop and to build a city and to build a tower. And Milo, if you want to click on. And there is a kind of imagination of what it might look like. Now, these towers weren't unusual in that time. In that plain of Mesopotamia, a lot of the cities built towers. This tower is different because all the other cities that built towers built them for their gods. They built them to show how great their God was. But the people who built the Tower of Babel, they built a tower. Well, it says here, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. So their purpose was not to point to any God, it was to point to themselves. And what's behind their motivation? Well, we read on in the passage, otherwise, verse 4, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. If we don't have this tower, if this isn't an impressive tower, we're nobody. We're just another face in the crowd. I remember once going to a wedding, and this little bridesmaid walked up to me, and she said to me, I am a bridesmaid. She was about three, and I said, wow, you look pretty. And she said, and you are just another face in the crowd. So, there we go. Anyone who has small children know that you cannot control what comes out of their mouth, or what they might relate that you've said in private at home that comes out. So, their motivation is to build this amazing tower so that they will make a name for themselves. Because if they don't make a name for themselves, if they're not seen to be great, then they're nobody, they're nothing. They're just going to be scattered. And so then it goes on, the Lord came down. I don't think it's the right translation, but I quite like the play on the word, because the Hebrew word could be used in a number of different ways. And one of the ways it says is almost to lie prostrate. The Lord stooped down, he went down on all fours, and he stared really hard to see this little tower that they were building up to heaven. And he says, how ingenious, these people are. How creative. Remember, they were on a plane. They didn't have rocks that you'd find in the mountains. So they made these bricks out of mud. They got tar to be the cement. They were really creative in building this tower and in a place where it would have been quite tricky to build something really big. How ingenious they are. But they're building something for their own glory. And that's the danger with humanity, isn't it? Anything that we do without God, the temptation is to build it for ourselves, not for him. And so God confuses their language so that they don't understand each other, something that we still experience today. And the very thing that they worried about, that they'd be scattered because they didn't build the tower to be great, happens to them, but God scatters them. So they're spread out all over the earth. Now, we fast forward to today. Here's a picture of London in 1700. What do you notice about the skyline? What are the things you see there? Churches, church spires, built for the glory of God. So we look upwards and we see him. We're reminded of him wherever we go in the city. Can we have a photograph of London today? What have we built? We've built, cathedrals, but to a different God, haven't we? I'm not going to get political. I got a little bit over political at 9 o'clock. I'm going to try really hard not to. But you know, when we talk about we want London to be the financial capital of the world, in some ways there's nothing wrong with that. I understand the economics of that. But what are we saying when that's the goal for our city? Over everything else, what we want is to be known to be the greatest financial capital in the world. And we'll build these cathedrals just to show how fiercely we worship our God. And it's not just London that does that. If we click on, we continue to misunderstand each other. Men and women, we are perplexed, aren't we? And nationalities, there are differences. There are cultural differences between us. There are age differences. Young people never do anything. They're so lazy and they're always worried about their mental health. Old people never listen to anything other than what they think that they think is right. And they'll never consider what young people think. Rich and poor. This is actually a photograph from Sao Paulo. Look at that, a favela next to the middle class. This one says, even the language, this says, any other people skills besides 400 Facebook friends? Even the language we use is so different. And so we continue to fail to understand one another, but also we continue to build towers for ourselves. Marla, can you click on? Anyone recognize this town or village? San Gimignano in Tuscany. It's a beautiful place. It's known for its towers. And don't they look pretty? Why have they built those towers? Because about 400 years ago, the wealthy families in the town wanted to show how much wealthier they were than their neighbors. And they also hated their neighbors, and they were at war with their neighbors. And so they built towers to protect themselves and to demonstrate and to show off their wealth. And here they are, these towers. And whenever they could, they tried to tear them down. I think this is the best visualization for the danger of living in a basement. If being with Jesus is living in a penthouse. We build towers. We build towers in our lives. And those towers can be for ourselves to make our name great. We don't do that deliberately, I don't think. None of us intend to do it. Of our achievements, important that people know what we've achieved, what we do, our busyness. I'm so busy. I've got so much to do. Our opinions. Let me tell you what I think. Let me tell you how I think the right decision should be. Our plans. We build towers for ourselves. There's nothing wrong in building plans, but are your towers absent of God, or are they built for God? We build towers with like-minded people. We rally around other people with the same opinions as us. And so we're shocked and we're outraged at what's going on in politics. And increasingly what I see happen is we don't just build our own towers, we tear down other people's towers. I mean, politics has been crazy, hasn't it, in the last few months? Do you know the number of times I've heard the phrase, shame on you, spoken at a prime minister? This is outrageous that they should do this. I only ever hear judgment. I only ever hear condemnation and shame casting and outrage and shock. And you know the danger when we're people of the penthouse but we live in a basement is that we pick up the same dialect. We pick up the same slang from the streets. And we begin to say, as Christians, shame on them. It's shocking. And without knowing it, we become people of judgment. And we become people who have received mercy but show no mercy. People who have received love but we show no love. The word on the streets, the dialect of this culture is ungraciousness, unmercifulness, unlovingness, and judgment. And guys, we were made for more than this. I've got a printer at home, and I don't even know how expensive a printer cartridge is. But has the world gone, am I confused that about half a thimble of ink should cost me £15 every time I get it wrapped in a nice little plastic holder? They're ridiculous. So what I did, as I'm sure many of you have done, is there's the brand printer cartridge you can use, and then you have the little cheap one. That's about a third of the price. And it looks like the same color as the one from the brand. You pop it in. Now, here's an example of one I did this morning. I'm really sorry that I should have put it on the screen. Now, I went to a really nice garden company. These guys make the best green lawns, they say, in the country. And your lawn will look amazing. And this is how my lawn comes out on my printer cartridge. It looks like it's just kind of come to the end of a drought and nothing's happened. These pink, lovely pink flowers are actually orange on my printer. And the house wasn't a dull mustard. It was white. Because I filled my printer with the wrong stuff. I filled it with the cheap stuff. And you know, when we operate with the language of judgment and condemnation, I'm not saying we don't challenge systems. I'm saying how we challenge systems. When we fill ourselves with another kind of language, a language of the world, a condemnatory language of the world, then we look like this. We don't look like the way we were made to be. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower and the people who were building it. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. But there's another tower that God is building. It's actually it's a temple. The Bible tells us. And you and I are invited to be living stones. And God himself will dwell within this new tower that's being built. God turned to his son and said, come, let us go down. And Jesus says in John 6, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all of those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For as my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. You are loved so much by your Heavenly Father. You are so loved and so cherished and so adored by the one who made you. You are the apple of his eye. And he has stopped at nothing so that you could have life in all its fullness. Even sending his son to come down another time. But this time, rather than scattering people, he died for us. And he rose for us. And now, extraordinarily, we are in Christ. We were doing Alpha on Thursday morning, and we were looking at the church. Oh, that was a great analogy from Nicky Gumbel. So no credit. He says, if this is us, this bookmark, when we die, the Bible says that we have died with Christ when we've asked Jesus into our life. Paul says it, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. This is the old us that lived in the basement. We've died. It's what baptism communicates. We've died with him. When Christ rose, we rose with him. And we are alive with Christ. We're in the penthouse suite with Jesus. We're alive. And so we don't need to try and build a name for ourselves in the basement because we're up here with Jesus already. We don't need to try and seek affirmation and approval from anyone else because we're loved with the greatest love that has ever been experienced to humanity. The one who made us loves us. We're full. We don't need anything else. Why go looking to build a little tower when you're at the top of the world with the Savior? You are loved, and nothing will ever remove you from his love for you. I have been crucified with Christ, says Paul, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so what's our response to all of this? To ruling with Christ, being with him. Don't build towers for yourself. Don't go seeking towers which don't have God in them. Think really long and hard about the things that you do in your life. For what end are you doing it? Are you doing it for him because you're in Christ? Or are you doing it because you want to make a name for yourself? And because otherwise you're going to be a nobody. The Bible doesn't say that. People say that. God says that you're loved and you reign with him. Don't tear down other towers. It doesn't mean that we can't speak out against injustice and wrong in the world. But don't use the language of the gutter because you've been made for more than that. You're people of grace and hope and love. Speak a new language, speak another language, speak a language of the penthouse, which is grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. And finally, keep your eyes looking up to Jesus, not looking down into the basement. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, and as we do that, we will continue to build this amazing temple in this world where more and more stones are added, one on top of the other, where God's presence dwells, and we will change this world. Jesus said, in Luke 4. At the beginning of his ministry, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That was his mission. And you and me in Jesus, that becomes our mission, to proclaim, to pray in Jesus' name for release, to speak out against injustice, to build this new kingdom, this new tower that will go on for eternity, with Jesus at our center. You live in a penthouse suite. Don't choose to give up the keys and spend your time in the basement. Amen.